following is a remastered version of Triples and Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
G'day everyone, it's Woody Valley here for another exciting episode of Triples and Ecstasy. What number are we up to today?
96.
There we go. Not too far away from the 100. Oh boy. And my host with me today, Dr. Tricky. How you going?
Hello, hello.
And Skipper.
Hello.
And newcomer to the show, and hopefully we won't scare him off, Zadok.
Kapla.
Well, we're coming live here from the Q Winterland Instance 27. And as you can take it, Q's in town and he's getting ready for Christmas. So here we are. And how you guys been finding it?
Very cold. Even with this scarf, I feel a little cold. I've dug it out of my my inventory.
Yeah, cool. Yes, well, so we've got quite a bit to talk about on this show. We're with quite a few season blogs with the about the Q Winter Wonderland here, so let's just get straight into it here, okay, guys. So start off with Season 8 Dev Block number 24, where Q pretty much just lets us know that he's going to be back in town and with the new Winter Wonderland. So with the gingerbread colony and you know, festivities already started. Started on the 5th of December, running through to the 16th of January of 2014. So
Woody, how many years have they done this now? What number is this?
Yeah, well, this would be the third year that they've actually done the Q Winter Wonderland, and of course they've added more content to it as they've gone along. So you know, keep us entertained. Which is found very good.
Yeah, it seems to have gotten a lot bigger. I don't think I played last year, but all I remember is the race. But boy, there's a lot of very annoying speaking non-playing characters trying to sell you and entice you into interesting challenges on the gazebo that now.
Yeah, well, we didn't have any of the voiceovers going on this time, and it seems to be very repetitive and whatnot with the voiceovers these days, this year's winter event. So it does become very annoying, you know, hearing all these voices.
But still festive. Very festive.
Oh, yeah, very festive. Yeah. It's, even though it's very strange for me, because coming from Australia in summer here, some of the southern hemisphere, it's summer down here, so.
It's a little reverse for you.
Yes, it is.
The water swirls differently too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. continuing on here, we've got the next season dev blog, number 25, with talking a bit further with what's happening with Q's Winter Wonderland, with content designer Jed Dua, Quantum Meerkat Ross talks about, you know, what's been going on here. Some of the things are new things saving the gingerbread village from snowmen and a hidden recipe in the village, battle against the Yeti and a pie eating contest. Of course, they've got the return of the Fast and the Furious, where it's a PvP racing event. The other thing is, you know, fight snowmen that Q brings to life and win holiday commodities, and the hidden accolades around the map. How you guys been finding with some of this content? You certainly getting out and enjoying and all that?
Well, you guys just did the gingerbread stuff, didn't you?
Yep.
Yep.
What was that like? Because I missed it. I it was like five people in it or something. What it was like?
Yeah, it's pretty much like Colony Invasion, where you get the fleet marks, but this time it's for winter, and you gotta save not colonists but gingerbread citizens of the gingerbread city or town, wherever you want to call it, colony, and yeah, the Yeti is the Maguta. What's the name of that monkey that you kill in the bonus option in the Colony Invasion?
Magadha.
That's it.
Yeah, from the original series.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's very similar in that respect. Yeah. So if you're very used to the Colony Invasion, you should not have any problems doing the Winter Invasion. One thing I've noticed with the Fast and Furious, the PvP race event, it's very, very, a lot more tighter. When I played it last year, where you just have to take one step outside the boundary line, you're disqualified from the race. So,
you mean it's tighter this year?
Yeah, tighter this year.
Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
Okay.
So, you know, you can't jump off the cliff to take a shortcut and jump off the cliff anymore. You can't even stand on the edge of it and you'd be disqualified. So,
I was wondering that.
You have to take it very easily when you go around the course and pretty much just make sure the EPO is in front of you when you finish the race to, you know, get some sort of winter EPO tags this year.
Well, I have to say, I thought the pie eating contest was very exciting. I didn't know what the point of that was other than eating as many pies as possible. Is there something I'm missing in there, or is it just eat as many pies?
Well, you get the commodities by eating the pies now as the reward. You no longer get the commodities from the snowpile.
Yeah, that's true. You can't get the commodities from the snowpiles anymore. You only just can get melting snowballs now, so it is a lot more harder to get commodities, and I find it even harder to get the uncommon commodities.
Oh, yeah.
The Bajoran beads and the Andorian sleigh bells, I think that they're called.
Yep.
the green uncommon ones. It seems to be a lot more tougher to try and get a hold of those. So, and for someone starting out trying to get all their, not so much dribble, but clothing and whatnot from the stories, very tough to get all that sort of stuff. Plus, also, some fleets might want to get that fleet banner thing that you can put up in the starbase as well, So it can be very tough there, especially getting the uncommon commodities from there.
So there's also something in this blog about hidden accolades. What have you guys found so far? Because I know Skipper, you were saying something earlier about stuff, but you guys must have found something by now.
Yeah, it's rather plain simple. With the snowmen that Q brings alive, for most of the time they're standing still, and you can go around and find them and click on them. And I think there's about six of them, I believe, that you can go to. And once you've seen all six of them, you can get yourself a accolade to saying that you completed that particular thing. Let's see, moving on. The next dev block, number 26, is pretty much telling us about the rewards that you get from the Q Winter Wonderland and items and whatnot. So we have systems designer Jeff Aquadictator Hawk Hamilton. I hope I said that right. Sorry if I didn't. Talks about rewards you can earn from this event. The holiday foods. This is actually changed from last year, where you can just buy the food from the store. Where this time around, you from the winter invasion, you got to pick up a recipe, and from that recipe, you go off and collect items, and you bake the food to get the food this time around. But
there's nothing more than I enjoy than online baking. that's what this boiled down to, huh?
The recipes come out of the gingerbread village, is that correct?
Yeah, the winter invasion. Just, only thing is, there's only like one recipe, and you have to go through and try and find it while you're battling snowmen and saving gingerbread men and women. It's, you find it on like one of the porches or up some stairs or something like that. And the only thing is, it's sort of like use only one of them in the whole entire map, and first in, first serve. I find that a little bit disappointing because, you're bound to have someone in your team that, especially if you're a pug group, they're just a big hogger. And also, we were talking about this earlier before with Caspian. Ted Terry from G&T Show was there as well, and it's sort of like saying, well, you're bound to have people who just go in there, try and find that recipe, and just leave the match. So, it's in some ways a bit disappointing that there's only one recipe for five people to try and fight over, so it is bit disappointing. I don't know what you guys think about it.
So that seems like a lot of work for these buffs. What kind of buffs do you get from these amazing foods?
Oh, it's probably just the usual type of buffs you get from foods, resistance or attack with it. But also from that food, feeding it to a tribble, you get your winter tribble. From that particular food, the candy stripe triple. Just to an example of in game what it looks like when you pat it.
Oh yeah, now I see that. That's a cool triple. Is that the first time they've had that, or is that a seasonal thing? They've had that before in this thing.
Yeah, this is the third time we've had this triple. and you know, can get this triple in the winter event.
He used to sell them on the exchange.
Yeah, I remember that now. I mean, they're pretty. That's pretty. I think I'd be more interested in that than the food. But there's also scarves, which I love. So what kind of scarves are here, Woody?
Yeah, there's quite a few bit of clothing. Some of the old ones from past winter events, and some new ones. Let's see here. We got the, you talked about the winter tribbles. So yes, the holiday scarves. There's new scarves that have been added for the Romulan and Reman characters. They haven't really set anything up for any of the Klingons or stuff Federation characters to get. They just brought out scarves so that the Romulan and Reman characters can get their scarves. So, in some ways, I find it might be a bit not real good decision to make, because you know, people starting out in the game might start off on a Fed or a Klingon. Now,
what?
Now they can't get the scarf this year.
So Klingons can't wear scarves? I didn't know that.
Oh no, I wear a scarf. I even wear boots.
Well, I see the boots. I don't see the scarf on you. So you're saying there's not special scarves for them, Woody, or they just can't wear them at all?
I have seen them on the Klingon side, some scarves, but I think it mentions that if you jump on your Federation character, you can't see any scarves any item shop. So.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, yep, and well, of course they've got the winter jackets with the past colours of black and brown, but this year they've brought out a green and a red colour jacket in either short or long waistline style of jacket. And of course they brought out a whole heap of new weaponry as well, so for the to use on the winter event. You got the snow blower, a snow flame thrower, hail, dual pistols, and the big one, which is a gun drop shotgun. Any of you guys managed to get your hands on any of those and had a try of them?
I've got the shotgun. It's pretty nice.
Well, I saw some red and blue snowballs passing by, so apparently that was it.
I want to see that shotgun, Skipper. What do the gumdrops look like? Are they gummies, or are they like more
little round? They look like an old-fashioned gummies, the hard can't runs.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I would try to get that if I could.
During a snowman fight, it takes a little while to recharge the larger shot, and the smaller ones break up for the target, so you can hit a group or you can hit an individual, but it'll take a while. There is a dual pistol setup that seems to work a little quicker, but that's snow.
Oh yeah, not gummies.
And forget your sword, it doesn't work.
It looks like we have a Batleth coming up here on the list, so maybe that will satisfy you, Zadok.
Yeah, we've got the, of course, this common thing you get from the winter event is the Nanopulse Leper or Batleth, which this color is green. So, over the years, they've brought out all the colors of the Jedi Knight lightsabers. So, the green one is pretty much the complete set. Because it's, you know, start off with blue, then you got the purple and red ones, then now the green. So it's now got all the Jedi weapons. Because the running thing with it getting these particular type of Lerpers was you get it from a Ferengi who's nice and green and speaks like Yoda.
Oh, ha ha ha!
Yes, and the thing was. Probably not quite said right, but the thing was, they did in tribute for Star Wars, the MMO Star Wars game, the Old Republic.
Oh wow, that's a while ago.
It was not very well received for quite a lot of people, so they've learned their lessons from that. We for some reason or another have not seen the green Ferengi since then. You know, because all I can say about that is thank God.
But we have other annoying living things floating around in here. The pets, which look very flat. Well, at least one of them does.
Roadkill.
That was it, the roadkill.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We've got a new pet, a gingerbread pet, a non-combat pet, which you could either get a Vulcan or a Orion-looking gingerbread pet. I know you can't get it at the store. I think it's a drop you get from the reward parcel from completing the Winter Invasion event, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Take it from the silence, I must be right.
I think you are.
Okay. Yep. Well, next one is some Winter Advances, which is a snowball mortar. I've actually got this machine. It comes in handy. I'll quickly just put it down here. So yeah, as far as the snowball mortars, which some aerial bombardment that can come in handy with the
snow overlord.
Yeah, snow overlord. Snow.
What is gingerbread calling?
That looks cooler than my other mortars that I on the normal ground assault stuff. I like that design.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't really used it in a big way. I haven't even seen it fire, so I don't know how well it's actually worked too well, because it doesn't last very long. It's only got, 30 seconds and it's gone, so and it's also got a 4-minute cooldown afterwards, so you got to use it wisely.
Apparently so.
Yeah. The other thing you can get is a lump of coal from this box as well, which is a bit of a random drop. And from this lump of coal, you can turn into a big giant snowman. I think quite a few of us here have actually got their lump of coal and used it and turned into into a big giant snowman.
Yeah, they look, they run around real well. I mean, they look, as in what Xander said, cute.
I'll just turn myself into a snowman. They're bobbing along.
One now.
Yep. So, yeah, it's all like a lot of fun and stuff like that to do with what's there and what else we also got here. Oh, yes. As we sort of like move into the next... next dev blog here, we've also got the new Breen ship, which is the Breen Plesh Brek heavy raider, and to get that you need to get yourself 1,000 Q glossy picks from the PVE race, and you do that answer daily. So it is going to take some time to get that. If you want to cheat a bit, you can use your Labi Crystals 5 to buy a box full of, I don't know how many I haven't bought.
Two to six. In a box.
In a box, yes.
That's it.
Get your thing quicker, or if you've been piling up and looking to see what you want to spend it on.
Well, I love the look of the ship, though. I love that look. This year.
Yeah.
You're a Breen fan, Zadok?
No, I just like the ship. I kill Breen.
But you like their ships?
Yes.
Does it look like the Borg ship from the next gen when they found the Borg? What was it, lore?
Yeah, you're thinking of the Season 6 cliffhanger, I think. It's like Legacy or something. I can't remember the name. But yeah, it does look a little like that. Let me find a picture of that ship.
Yeah, well, in the dev block I just mentioned, number 27, Phil Gonzola Soleski talks about the Breen Raider. Yeah, it's just a basic outline here. It's rank requirements is level 40 or Rear Admiral, Lower Half, Fed, Brigadier General, KDF, or Sub-Admiral 1 for the Romulan. So all three factions can obtain this particular ship, and it's free. Of course, you just have to work it off on a daily basis to get those glossy pictures. The hull strength's just over 29,000, shield modifier 0.88, crew of 50. Now the weapons here is certainly very much in the way of a gunboat style of four weapons and two aft. There's two device slots, base turn rate of 19 degrees, impulse modifier flow of 0.21, inertia of 75. Now this is actually quite, I haven't seen this happen on other ships that have been released with the bridge officer stations, where it's got one commander tactical, one ensign universal, two lieutenant universal, one lieutenant commander universal. So this is actually quite a different turn of events with ships, where they got, you know, was there one, two, three, four universal slots. So yeah, has you guys ever seen any of the ships that got that many universal slots, bridge officer slots?
I didn't even know they could make ships with that many. So is, how many usually are there universal these days? One, two? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Four seems like a lot.
Yeah. Because the commander spot is tactical spot. It's not taken up, but, you know, having a lieutenant commander universal and two unit lieutenants and one ensign is, you know, quite a lot. So, you know, it could really open it up on what bridge officers you definitely want with that. So, now, this is pretty similar to being a bug ship here with the console modifications, where it's five tactical, two engineering, and three science. So you definitely got yourself another bug ship, you could say, in a way.
Killing machine.
Yeah, very big killing machine. Very high DPS and stuff like that. And plus, also, it's got plus 15 weapon power with it as well. So you definitely got yourself a killing machine. You can equip dual cannons. There's a console that comes with it, a universal console called Sensor Disruption Field. Haven't got the specs on what it does with that particular consoles, but you probably find out once you get it.
And improved once you get the flanking. Ship, yeah. What's up with that? What's improved flanking?
Yeah, well, I've heard people say about it that it's, if you do a flanking shot, like get behind your opponent and far away.
Bonus.
Yeah, it does a big increase of damage if you do a flanking shot. So if you hit them hard on the rear end, it apparently does a lot more damage than usual, which is, it might cause some bit of controversy, I believe, because there's, you know, big debate on how these gunboats going around melting everyone and whatnot, and, you know, plus also with, you know, I know Al Rivera's been talking about it quite a few times, but just too afraid to do anything about it because of the backlash you'll probably get from it, is, you know, about the power of the cannons these days with gunboats, and it, you know, seeing something like that, you know, people are just going to probably just get very upset, especially when it comes to doing a open PvP. What do you guys feel about it?
Well, I guess it's just the style you like, right? I mean, if you're into PvP and you want big guns, you're going to be happy with that kind of confirmation, but I agree. I mean, I think it's, well, it's not great for what I used to like about the game.
What is your style?
Well, I mean, I like cruisers. I'm more interested in other aspects of the game, but I've never been a PvP person, so it's not something I've been interested in. And sort of the grinding of the game is what I've never really loved. So I think it's a pretty ship, but I can understand how that could ruffle a few feathers with the increasing gunboat potency.
Well, they'll nerf it eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah, we see also, too, just a bit of a side scroll thing, too, is, you know, the new tactical consoles, you know, people are just about on the verge of getting their hands on that from the fleet's Spire. You know, that's, you know, even higher than the purple Mark 12 consoles. You know, that the damage output on it is, remember off the top of my head, is like 31.9%, where the Mark 12 purple consoles are 30%. So, you know, putting five of those on a ship, you know, not many people are going to hold out to that terribly well. So, you know, I was, you know, discussing it with other people who meet in the Caspian fleet, and so they pretty much agree that, you know, something needs to be done pretty much straight away where to get this thing sorted with.
Yeah, you know, but Woody, what could be done? I mean, what could they possibly do apart from dialing that stuff back? Would they have to just somehow release better defenses or different kinds of shield, or like, I mean, I'm interested. What could they do? What do you think?
Probably best thing is actually to do is to subtract out rather than add to it. I believe, yeah, because sure, you know, we've got the armor plating from the consoles from the. From the fleet mine and stuff like that, you know, they help out a fair bit. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just too much, just probably just too much DPS from these cannons. You know, that's my opinion anyway.
I love it. It's like devaluing currency after massive inflation. It's the same thing. Devaluing the weapons after massive inflation of the power. That's interesting.
Indeed. Did you talk about the set bonuses already?
Not yet. That'll be next. Yeah, it's just an ending note, you know. Of course, you know, players will probably want more, you know, want heavier hitting power and whatnot, you know. One of these days, you know, people, Cryptid's just going to have to say, no, that's it. That we're not going to take it any further with, you know, damage outputs and defensive outputs. You know, you're just going to have to be a bit more smarter with it, you know, with your skill tree and whatnot to and probably, you know, try and outsmart someone in PvP or something like that, because, you know, just giving more, and, you know, probably find that people just get too far behind it all and they'll just walk away from the game saying, nah. Especially, you know, since Star Trek Online is not a pay to win game. Yeah, pay to win game sort of game. You know, you have to work for it and earn it to get it, sort of thing. So, yeah, it's definitely a big debate about it. And
see, that's why we need a developer on here to have that debate, because I think that's pretty fascinating where that's heading, because it does feel like a kind of a snowball just rolling down the mountain, and that's not a Winter Wonderland pun, I guess. It's just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
But you got me looking up the mountain, making sure there's not one coming down.
We are standing under a mountain, I guess, here in game, so.
Well, moving on here with the dev block, can equip the Breen energy displacer found on the Breen
cruiser.
The cruiser there, so you can add to it from the cruiser, which is also you can also get It's also available for this year's winter event from what we had last year. So some people might enjoy that quite a lot. There's also set bonus, as Zarek just mentioned, of equipping both the Sensor Disruption Field Universal Console and the Breen Energy Displacer. Just also was another note I saw right in the bottom of the that particular dev blog is the above stats and systems are subject to change. So don't count on this as being true and accurate at the moment. You know, as time goes by and they get more facts and figures, they probably will could say trim it down or redesign some of the things. So
just so when you just get be your kill well, right?
Yeah, enjoy where you can before you find that it's not useless or something like that. But who knows? You might find it useless now, and the changes might find it more better to your playstyle. So you know, don't get quite on the hoo-ha just yet about it. Give it a chance to let it settle down, basically. So, all right. So that's all the dev blogs there. I've also just with the Foundry news too. There is some bugs where the away points are bugged and you can't, where the green circles, where the points where you're supposed to go to are not where they're supposed to be, so you can easily get lost in a map, especially in space. And so that's why I haven't got any Foundry missions to review and promote at the moment, just because of that problem, just to get a chance for Cryptic to get them fixed and stuff like that. Even though, on a broader note, the Foundry editor actually was reopened yesterday, so hopefully by next week I should actually have a new Foundry mission to promote to everyone. But for any Foundry authors that wanting to have their mission reviewed, quite welcome to send us an email or tweet us to have it promoted. Just on the side note, we're not going to be reviewing Spotlight of Foundry missions. They were, because they already got enough attention to that don't need to be promoted anymore. With that sort of things, we're mostly looking for someone who's just starting out, and the diamonds in the rough. You know, you're having struggling trying to get your mission out there. You know, give us a yell. You know, we'll take a look and have a look. We're only going to be doing the story based missions, none of the grinder style missions too as well. So. As I keep on saying, send us an email or send us a tweet just to let us know. Or I've also got a blog post in the Starbase UGC. Just pop us a line there, and we'll do our best to help promote your mission there. So, and moving on, we've got some news outside of Star Trek Online that got brought up to our attention, so take it away.
So, yeah, I just have some Star Trek news just from the blogs out there and other websites. So, the last couple weeks, of course, if Katsu was here, he would say we're going to talk about the movie that supposedly no one wants to talk about a little bit, Star Trek Into Darkness, because I keep thinking that JJ is on this apology tour. We've heard stuff about the lens flares, and then we've heard stuff from the writers saying, well, wouldn't it be great if we could have a TV show because it gave us more time to explore these philosophical things that we left out of the movie. And now, just this week, JJ came on in an interview. It looks like this is MTV. And he said now he regrets the whole thing about keeping the con secret. And if people remember, this is one thing that I don't know about you guys, but it one of the major things that pissed me off about the leading up to this movie is it was so clear the villain was going to be Khan. And all the writers and JJ and the actors said, nope, it is going to be someone new. It's John Harrison. We're not going to, it's going to be this completely new person. There's no Khan. We'll never do that. That's just recycling. And of course they did Khan. So, JJ comes out in this article, and I guess we can put this URL up somewhere, but this is in MTV News. Let me read this quote because I thought it was interesting. He said, "The truth is, I think it probably would have been smarter just to say up front, this is who this is. It was only trying to preserve the fun of it, and it might have given more time to acclimate and accept that's what the thing was." He also goes on to say, essentially, the studio didn't want him to make this something just for existing fans. He wanted to be clear with that the studio was sort of pressuring him as well. But like I said, I just feel like this whole thing is an apology tour. I mean, that somehow he's kind of distancing himself a little bit from it before he launches into Star Wars and moves well beyond Star Trek. But I don't know, this seemed much bigger to me than apologizing for silly lens flares. This seems like that he's really admitting to a mistake and not just oh, gee whiz, I should have done this.
I agree.
Good. I think it's clear. I mean, what do you guys think? I thought it was a big deal.
Well, what you were saying about touching further, you know, out in the field, people that aren't used to Star Trek, it was more dark action stuff. You know, it wasn't canon, right? Per se.
Yeah, no, for sure. And always these sort of regrets, like, well, the studio really wanted us to do stuff to attract new people, not just the existing fans. But the whole thing is that movie never would have existed without fans. So it is this weird dichotomy that we're now seeing sort of played out in these articles, and it's intriguing to me. And I hopefully someone has learned their lesson, and maybe the
hopefully.
Next one. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, and there was another article where Cumberbatch, the guy who played Khan, came out, and he essentially said the same thing, that he thought, well, it would sort of be unfair to people that don't know about Khan to announce it before the movie, before they saw the movie, and then to lose the surprise. And what I was interested in, I was going to ask you guys, who hasn't heard about Khan? I mean, that's what I kind of want to know. Even like someone that knows just a little bit about Star Trek, you think they would realize or understand or have heard of Khan? That was kind of shocking to me that somehow they thought it would be a new character and a big reveal to a new person that they wanted to hide it. But once again, I just feel like it's a little bit of a cop-out.
Well, what I kept hearing was he was in the shower.
You mean that the cut scene of him in the shower?
Right.
Yeah, that was another thing they leaked to the press, sort of like they cut that scene out, the sexy Cumberbatch scene of him in the shower. But yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of things, I mean, we've talked about on the show many, many times about how we thought things were mishandled, but this seems to be weird, and I thought it was interesting that JJ came out and then Cumberbatch said something, and I'm wondering if the writers will be next.
I don't know, but I want to add something to this. They forgot the power of the fans. You know, they wanted to change it on their own. If they let the fans spread the word, there wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the studio is always gun-shy when it comes to that. And, I mean, lately there's been some, I think, amazing success stories with Marvel, obviously, when really listening to the fans or doing something that is in reference or at least in respect to that legacy really makes sense, both artistically and financially. So I hope you're right, Zadok, that they've forgotten, now they maybe understand, and it would be nice to see a movie that has more insight into what fans want. But I think we're going to continue to see these articles for a while, and of course they'll be intermixed with articles about rumors for the next movie, and already we're seeing rumors about the next director, and we all know it's not JJ, so I think there's a little more hope that this third one's going to be different.
This is the beginning of a new canon outside of the canon story.
Oh, yeah, I think for sure. But at least there might be some hope that the next story is going to be intriguing and not sort of a best hits of Star Trek done, I think, kind of poorly. But, you know, as we've said on the show many times, at least it's inspired people and created some buzz around Star Trek, and hopefully things will continue.
Buzzing like DeLorean flies.
Hey, probably also too with what Larry Nemesek said that last episode. So like, yeah, it's Into Darkness is pretty much buried. We've moved on. We've started getting into amateur scenes
the fan films.
Star Trek and fan films and stuff like that. And also, just on the side, other thing I remember too, he says about it, I was just thinking about it, says, yeah, he is right. Yeah, we sort of like buried it and moved on, you know, and you know, with the fan made stuff and way we contributed to it, you know, with the what you call it, giving them money to, I can't remember what you call it.
Oh, you mean Star Trek Continues?
Yeah, we got done the big
and
money drive for it. Kickstarter, that's it. And, you know, but also, you know, Star Trek Renegades. But also with the novels, I know for a simple fact there was like three Star Trek-based novels that, based on the canon Star Trek, of course, they made the number one bestseller list on the New York Times. So, you know, we definitely have moved on, and I think JJ Trek here is probably just trying to keep it alive a bit more longer to try and get some more money for it. So.
Yeah. It was really, you're right, Woody, it was really good to have Larry on the show and have him state unequivocally that in the past, when there was no Star Trek, there was really nothing in the void. You know, went before, between the original series and the movie, of course, and then even that little bit of time, you know, when Enterprise went off the air and there was that year where people just didn't know what was going to happen. And now, you're right, I mean, there's all these Kickstarters and a lot of these fan filming things, Star Trek Continues and Renegades being two of those, and the books are continuing, but also STO and the Foundry missions. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on that's really intriguing, and I think keeping the movies going and getting interest is good, but at least as fans, we have a lot to look for and look towards to get our fix. So that I think that's great.
Yep. Is there anything else you want to mention here?
Oh, yeah, okay. There's one thing I think was hilarious. Have you guys seen this Star Trek TNG Make It Snow video? It's perfect for the holidays. I mean, I wish I could play it on the Air Force, but essentially it's a bunch of clips put together so the characters can sing Make It Snow, but actually, of course, being Star Trek Next Generation, it's Make It So. And it's an awesome video. I found this copy on Blaster. It's on YouTube. You can search it out and find it, and I can get the name in a few minutes, but it's an awesome video, and it fits perfectly with our holiday-themed episode going through Q's Winter Wonderland today.
It got me in the spirit.
See, if it works for a Klingon, right? It's got to work for everyone.
Cool. Well, from last week's episode with Larry, you know, he mentioned that he was going to go off to FedCon in Germany next year. So I was thinking along the lines of, how about we just mention to everyone about the Star Trek conventions for 2014. And so, you know, I did a bit of a Google search and whatnot, and it's not very much in a way of, you know, looking internationally. It wasn't very much in a way of just Star Trek-based conventions, but if you know of one that I haven't mentioned here, certainly send us an email and we'll try and mention it next week. But I'll just brought up a list here of all the conventions for 2014. So you're starting off with the United States. Of course, Creation Entertainment is pretty much the forefront with Trek conventions there. So they have one in Boston for the 21st and 22nd of June. Of course, they got Las Vegas, which is the big one. And just a reminder that the dates have actually changed for Las Vegas next year, which is now the 31st to the 3rd of August, which is, I believe, the week before. Well, it's like a week early from what they had it this year. And it's also like the weekend after the San Diego Comic-Con, I believe. And right. Also, it's right in the middle of the shore leave over in Maryland. So I think it caused a little bit of controversy. I don't know the reason why they did the date change, if because it's any time the venue was open or not. But yeah, so there's Las Vegas for you. What are the dates? They do Philadelphia on the 25th to the 27th of April. They also did a big date change with San Francisco, where they're doing it from the 12th to the 14th of December. So it'll be a month, I believe, a month later from when they did it this year.
That's usually, I thought, you're right, I think it's usually in November. I've got to go to one of these in San Francisco one of these years. I was just looking for who's going to be, if they have anything booked already, but I think it's too far in the future. They've got no information on it just yet.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember they did, last time I took lead of the show was when they did the San Francisco convention.
I know, and I was shocked. I learned about this a convention in my own city listening to this show. That's how cutting edge the show is. So that was great.
Yes, and they also have one in Chicago, which is June to the 8th. So, and we've got another one that's not run by Creation called TrekCon in Springfield, Illinois, which runs from 9th to the 11th of May. There's another one there I found. But of course, you know, you got other, you know, the Comic Cons and Dragon Con in Atlanta. So that, you know, you probably find Trek fans also join in too. But I mostly just try to, as I mentioned, just try and stick to the Star Trek conventions here. So. Then I went over to Europe, and pretty much it's all happening in Germany next year. So you got the Destination Star Trek convention, which I believe was in London this year, but next year it's going to be in Frankfurt in Germany during the 21st to the 23rd of February. So, yep. Plus, also I did a quick mention of the FedCon, which Larry Nemesek is going to be a guest on, which is running between the 29th of May through to 1st of June in Dusseldorf as well. And I found another one there that in Germany too, in Dusseldorf, is the Trekgate convention, which runs from August 30th to 31st, also in Dusseldorf as well.
Oh, double shot.
So yeah, they're definitely getting it on, going on in there in Germany. And the one I found in Australia, which is run by First Contact Conventions, called Austrek 10, and 10 is meant to be the 10th Austrek convention, which is run on just the day event on 2nd of February down in Melbourne, or Melbourne is what you guys in America like to say it. So, and it's also got two special guests. They've got the actor who played Tom Paris and the actor who played Jonathan Franks, Riker.
Yeah, that's right. So, Jonathan Frakes is a great at conventions. He's wonderful. I've seen him a couple times. I've never seen is it Robert McNeil, the guy who plays Tom Paris? Just like Jonathan Frakes, he's got an awesome sort of directorial career now. So I would imagine that both of them are going to talk about a lot of stuff. Larry was just mentioning that Jonathan directed a Shield episode, the Agent of Shields episode, a couple weeks ago. So he's probably got a lot of things to say about that experience.
Yeah. So like I said, the Austrac 10 is just a day event, so definitely, you know, go down, stay overnight.
You know, Woody, you sound like Santa Claus. You know, as far as you traveled through United States and Germany and Australia, ho, 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 you sound like Santa Claus. Traveling the world.
Oh. Bringing Star Trek conventions to all good boys and girls.
I'll just say ho, ho, ho then. So... like I mentioned before, if you've got a Star Trek convention that's happening in your state or country that I haven't mentioned, yeah, send us an email and we'll get it on the show next week to let everyone know about these Star Trek conventions.
This show needs representation at the Las Vegas convention. I'm gonna say that right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the guest list. And it looks like it's William Shatner and Kate Mulgrew and Cole Mnini, who I saw many years ago. I actually was, I think, I'm dating myself, but I think I was at the first convention he was ever at, and he was really nervous, which I thought was kind of amazing. I'm sure he's a pro by now. This was in the 90s, like the early 90s, really early 90s, and he was smoking. he was pretty nervous. But I've never seen Kate Mulgrew at a convention. I've seen a lot of video of her, and I know she's got a lot of stories. Have you guys seen either of these people? And I've never seen William Shatner in a convention, actually, before.
Well, he's awful busy anyway, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, and he's getting up there. I mean, he's 80.
Jeez.
He's over 80, I think, now, but... Once again, I've seen videos. I've seen most of the Next Generation at conventions, and they are amazing. I mean, and they have a lot to say. I've seen some of the original series actors. Walter Koenig is at Vegas in this one, and I remember I saw him at a convention right after he had his heart attack, and he was there, meeting the fans and everything. It was pretty inspiring, and a lot of them have acts and singing talents and. You know, they put on little theater plays or scenes and things like that. It's a great experience. I've got to get back. I haven't gone in many years. I've got to get back to one of these. So I think this show needs to be at the Vegas convention. I'm sure, Woody, you can make a intercontinental flight for the Vegas convention.
I'm trying to save up for 2016. The only chance of me getting there next year is I win the lotto. So
that's really so, far advanced planning in 2016. It's good.
Well, with my budget, I've got no choice. I have to make it like a long term plan more than a short term plan to try and get over there. So
are they going to have the bridge? Yeah. Are they going to return the bridge?
I think they will, and they've had so much success. I've seen on their Facebook page, just being at convention after convention, and all the awesome pictures they've had. So I think Vegas is definitely, because I think they're in Southern California, so it's pretty close-ish. So I think they want to be there again.
Yeah, well, it was quite a big success with doing Las Vegas last year, because everyone pitched in and did the fundraising to get the bridge over there. So
yeah,
I gave $10 to tell the truth towards it, and
I gave a few bucks too. I've got my Isolinear chips right in front of me here on my computer as my thank you gift.
I'm pretty happy to be there next year with the bridge, because I know Nick Gettysburg 7 from the G&T show wants to do a Romulan wedding on the bridge next year too.
Interesting.
I think Captain Kiko wants to renew his vows again with another G&T actor. So he's hoping that would be there. So I know we're planning in talks with trying to get Houston, the guy who oversees the bridge, to come back on the show to talk to him again, so we might See if we can get the ball rolling there.
So. I would love for him to be on the show because he's got so many plans about actually spinning that bridge into a whole museum, and he's also got he mentioned there's some announcement or he's got pieces of the original series bridge from the Relics episode, I believe, in TNG, and he also wants that to be part of this museum. So I'm sure he would have a lot to talk about, and museums are my career, so I'd love to have a conversation with him. So hopefully we'll be able to get him.
Well, then I have a question for you. Wax figures. What about, well, do they have such a thing?
I should be a little more clear. Science museums are my field. So we don't have a lot of wax figures, but are you talking about Hudson's Bridge Project, if they're going to have wax figures?
Well, just for display, I was following the bridge part.
They might. I mean, I imagine they might have mannequins, but I think the more interesting to them is actually having the bridge be a physical interactive, so people could participate in it and with it, similar to what they used to be able to do in the Star Trek experience in Vegas.
But Captain, you told me to push the red button.
Exactly. Someone has a good memory.
Yes. As we draw to a close, there's one little extra thing I want to mention about is just something completely different and something that doesn't revolve being in space is it actually involves ants. I actually saw this from my auntie putting it up on Facebook, where they some group of scientists have found this ant's nest for some good decent size giant ants. I don't know what species of ants they are, but what they did was they went, found this ant's nest, went and filled it up with concrete, and it took a couple of days to fill it up with concrete. And you'll think it said, it mentioned that it took like 10 ton of concrete and 3 days to get it all filled up. Then they took a month off to let it make sure the concrete dries and set, then start excavating around this ant's nest, and it shows there's just the structure they have underground. And I was like, gee whiz, that's amazing, you know. So that's just something there I thought it would be good to actually mention on the show and show everyone that about, you know, how ants live and work and how they structure their nests underground there. So I was like,
Woody,
wow, that's absolutely amazing.
I think you've just given away the plot of Ender's Game with the four
okay.
eggs.
My aunt, she was 8 foot tall. That's where I got my height.
So I was just looking at this monstrosity they dug out, and you know, it's just wow. That's quite amazing there, with how ants build their homes and whatnot. So yeah, it's just something on the side that's just people that look at and gawk at and go, whoa, sort of thing, like, hopefully like what I did. So, well, just as this show just draws to a close, just to remind everyone that we're going to have a Christmas special in 2 weeks' time. Hope you can all join us. We're hoping to have some other guests from the other podcasts that relate to Star Trek Online on come along on board as well, so you know, have a real good festive cheer about it all. So, and Sander's really keen on getting this. I think this is really his baby to do this. So, I hope I'd certainly encourage everyone to come along to this. I'm certainly looking forward to it. Hope you guys are too, eh?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah, and also too, we're coming up close to our 100th episode, and we got a big special surprise for that show, which will be happening next year. So I think we're pretty much at a close here, fellas. So thanks for joining us, and hopefully we can see you all next week. So
I would like to say something.
Oh, yes?
We love you all, and we do this for a labor of love, because we want to be here for all of you, and we honor you. Thank you for your support, and kapla.
See, that's a great freshman entry into the Tribbles and Ecstasy cast. Perfect. Perfect, Zadok.
Thank you.
Well, I never said that when I came into the
show. I know.
You're
making us look bad.
Yeah, put me to shame. Anyway, that'll do. So thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll hopefully catch you later. So bye, everyone.
Bye. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, kapla.
The following is a remastered version of Tribbles and Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Boldly go where no one has gone before. Star Trek Online.